Tonight I want to begin. I always know where to start, never where we're going to finish. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we will start. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So it says here in verse 14, but their minds, this is speaking about Israel, their minds were blinded. I think that there are a lot of people in our world today whose minds are blinded. Amen. They're blinded and not able to see into the realm of spirit. They understand things that are in the natural, but when it comes to the things of the spirit, they find it difficult. Their minds were blinded, for until this day there remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away or removed in Christ? So when we come to Christ, the answer to all that is in the Old Testament is there for us. And I think that tonight God is wanting to open your mind.
Yes.
Just a little further than perhaps it was. And as you open your mind, you will receive what God wants to tell you. And I will tell you that anything that God says to you tonight, you better receive it, because that will be truth. And when you receive the truth, then the changes will take place in your life.
Yes.
Verse 16, nevertheless, when they should turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the veil for us, I believe, is the carnal mind.
Yes.
The carnal mind through which we filter everything that we know. Unfortunately, that is not the mind that we should be using, but for most of us, it's hard to turn that one off. It's up on top here, and your intellect functions through that mind. But it says here, of course, that the veil shall be taken away. So there's going to be a change, and I believe that tonight there are some people here that will undergo the change.
Yep.
And there will be a slight drop from about up here to about down here when the truth will find a resting place in your heart and not in your head. Too many people today, too many Christians, they have an understanding, a belief, which is all up in here.
Yes.
And therefore, the veil is still over their eyes. And the truth is not visible to them. And neither is it able to function in their lives. So it says here in verse 18, for we all, that's every one of us here tonight, for we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's a mirror.
Yes.
The glory of the Lord. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. What do you see when you look in a mirror? What do you see when you look in a mirror? What do you see when you look in a mirror? You see yourself, don't you? But here the Apostle Paul is telling us, listen to it. We all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And while we are beholding that glory, we are being changed.
Yes.
We are being changed. What is changing us? Are we changing ourselves? No.
No.
Because what you behold is what you become.
Right.
And that's why what you behold with this mind up here, it's not going to give you anything that you want to become. But what you behold in here, you remember how Isaiah one day, He said he saw the Lord. Where do you think he saw the Lord? Was it in the temple in Jerusalem? Or was it in the temple in some other town? No. He saw the Lord in himself. That was a revelation that every person should have. I can tell you tonight, Christ dwells in every one of you.
Yes.
But have you seen him? Because when you see him, you will understand who you are. He's the King.
Yes.
And if the King dwells in me, then I must be something.
Yes.
I mean, a king dwells in a palace.
Yeah.
Well, we are his temple anyway. God dwells in us. The King of glory, and the King who is over all the kings of the earth. So now let's turn over here a little further. Because he's going to tell us here something about what is the result of all of this. In verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "But we have this treasure, and the treasure is in an earthen vessel."
Yes.
Now, if you have a treasure, you don't put it usually in an earthen vessel. You put it in a golden case or some beautifully carved and polished piece of furniture. That's what you do when you have something of great value. But it says here, we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the God of glory would deign to come down and dwell in me, in you. That means you have value.
Yes.
That means you are very, very important to God.
Yes.
Very important. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that when that Christ is dwelling in us, then there is going to be something that will be for his glory in our lives.
Yes.
But now we're going to get into the serious part of this, because the Apostle Paul is going to speak to us now about what it means to have that King dwelling in us, functioning in us. Did you know 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "Don't you know your body is the temple of God?"
Yes,
so this body is his temple.
Yeah.
That means all of God's function on this earth is to be done through a body. Your body. This is the whole truth. Your body becomes the only vessel that is available to him, because he dwells in you, every one of you.
Yes.
So here tonight, there is quite an opportunity for God in this locality, in this district, to do many, many things. Why? These hands belong to him. They're his hands to do his will.
Yes.
This voice belongs to him. So it means that all of these voices here are available to the Christ who dwells in you, because this body does not belong to you.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
This body does not belong to you. It belongs to him. He was the one that formed this body in your mother's womb. He was the one that brought you into this world for one reason, that you may become the vessel in his hand through which he can speak to the people, through which the sick can be healed, and those that are downcast may be lifted up, and those that are even dead could be raised in the presence of the Lord. So it's interesting that this afternoon, or this evening, that God should make it so clear to us that we are the vessels in his hand. This body was designed for him to express himself.
Amen.
Who wants to see Des Walter? I'm nobody. I'm nothing as far as the world is concerned. I'm just one of 21 million people in Australia. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Nothing like the United States, what, 300, is it? 290,000, whatever. That's a lot of people. See, we're only a little country. I mean, we're a big country, but a little population. We have plenty of room, you know. So if you're getting a bit frustrated over here, a bit locked in, come to Australia. There's plenty of room over there. The Apostle Paul now is speaking to us and he says, we are always bearing about in this body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That sounds a little sadistic, doesn't it? Why should we be bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus? Because you and I have got to learn how to die. Have you learned how to die yet? I mean, we don't get any practice, do we? You only get one go at that. But I'm not talking about that kind of death. I'm not talking about the end of life when we're parting off. To walk the streets of gold, as a lot of people think. Well, he said that we are always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Because we need to learn how to die. And he taught us. You see, Jesus Christ said, no man can take my life from me. He said, I've got power to lay it down. I've got power to take it again. And so have you.
Yes.
So have you.
Thank you, Lord.
You've got power to lay down your life tonight. Are you ready? That's why you've got to be caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because until you experience his dying, not his death, his dying. I mean, death is easy once it comes, that's it. That's your eyes closed and that's it. But the dying process is the process when you make up your mind that you want to live another kind of life. I don't know how many of you people are so happy with your mortal life that you don't want to get rid of it. Anybody like that here tonight? You would hate to part with your mortal life. Well, I want to tell you, you can have my mortal life if you want it, because I made up my mind, I'm through with it. I thought I was, and I tried to get back, get back on me and says, you haven't beaten me yet. I said, yeah, but I will. Why? Because, you see, this body here, we have made it to be our own. We are living it to express what we are, not what he is, but what we are. We want to have fun, We want to have fun. We want to go out there and be able to do what we can do. And I like a bit of fishing and so on. I don't know what you might like something else, but we have lots of things in life that we really like to do. So we like our life as it is, but I want the life that Jesus Christ came to give us.
Yes.
Did you know that that life is eternal? Did you know that that life can never get sick?
Yes.
Did you know that that life is a life of blessing? That it's a life that can be filled with wonderful experiences as the Christ functions through us. So we have to have this dying of the Lord Jesus, and remember that he was not worthy of death. He had no reason to die. He was the Son of the living God. He had no reason to die. He had never sinned in his entire life. That's the Christ. He had never sinned in his whole life. And that's why he could say, no man takes my life from me. I've got power to lay it down and I've got power to take it again. This is your right tonight. You have the right to lay down your mortal life if you want to, and to take up the life that Christ has provided for us at Calvary.
Amen.
And if we are willing, we can experience that tonight. So let's see now what happens here as he explains it to us. We which live, this is verse 11, are always delivered unto death. We which live are always delivered unto death for the sake of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, I've had talked to people who've got cancer, and they say, you know, the doctor has given me no hope. He said, it's gone too far. We can't do anything with it. Your days are numbered. Maybe you maybe have 3 months, and that's about all. And the man says, well, can't you do something for me? Oh, well, yes, we can give you, you know, certain things. We can use this and that and some drugs and whatever. Well, let's try. Why? Doesn't that man want the life that God has for him? No, he wants to hang on to the one he's got. You know, I've often thought about this. But see, God has a purpose in offering us this eternal life. Why? Because there's so many people on this earth that need you, that need a voice, that need a body that can come and bring this message to them. And you're all capable. You all qualify. But see, sometimes our life is our own. What do you do with your life? Do you ask Father in the morning, Father, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
Not, I'm going out today, Father. I've got this thing I'm going to have to do, and I'll see you when I come home this evening. Well, that's how we treat life. Is very simple for many, many people, but it doesn't involve the life of the Christ of God. Jesus Christ said, the things that I do, you can do also. You can do them. We are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that his life might be made manifest in us. Verse 40, knowing he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He will raise us up. How? Well, if you're prepared to die with him, then he'll raise you up with himself.
Right.
If you're prepared to do away, well, not do away, if you're prepared to sacrifice your life today, that is your mortal life, in order that you might receive eternal life, he said you can have it. And that eternal life will give you the ability to become that vessel in the hand of God to do whatever God wants to do. That's what the world is waiting for. Now he goes a little further and he says, for which cause we do not faint. What cause? Well, knowing that what the Lord Jesus raises up is eternal life. For this cause, he said, we do not faint, but though our outward man perishes, but the inner man is being renewed every day. Come on. The outer man, which is but the outer shell, really. He said the outer man is perishing every day. They tell me that every 7 years is almost a complete renewal in your body, as certain functions, certain parts of your being are being renewed.
Yes.
But every day there are thousands of cells in your body that are being destroyed. You're losing them. So the outer man is perishing every day. It's disappearing little bit by little bit. You know, I'm only young yet, but one day if I ever get old, you know, I'm going to know that God is dwelling in me and that my life is not just mortal. Because I have not made any plans whatsoever to die. So I am believing that somebody on this earth is going to have to answer the cry of the millions and millions that have already passed from this life and who are in that land of hope and glory, in that land of the Spirit of God. They're over there saying, come on, you people. Which one of you are going to step into the water and stop the flood of death that has run its race in our country today or in the world? How many? Who's going to do this, you see? Because until somebody does that, they're over there. And they have not received the promises.
True.
Oh, they're all right. I mean, they're in the world of spirit where nothing dies. But they have not yet received the promises of God, which he is offering to us. So they are waiting for us to fulfill their destiny. Are you hearing this? Oh, man, this is so important for us. Your outer man is perishing every day, but the inner man is being renewed, made new every day. Why? Because that inner man is the Christ. The inner man is the Christ of God, and he cannot die.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's why Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, did not go to the cross as the Christ. Do you know what he did before he went to the cross? He took on who you are. He took on who you are. Why? Because he couldn't die as the Christ. Christ could never die. He's eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. He is part of God. He said, I and my Father are one. He could never die. But I want to tell you today, the Christ in you is being renewed every day. He is no less today than he ever was. In fact, I believe that there is an increase in the Christ that has come to us down through the years. He is being increased to meet the need of a world in which wickedness and evil has just proliferated in a way that it's hard to even understand. But see, the outer man of our being, this is the natural man, this is the mortal human being, is perishing every day. And one day death says, I've got you. So we have a choice. Because I believe that you can live in either one of those two men. You can either live out of the outer man and be able to be an engineer, be a doctor, be a nurse, be a scientist, be a whatever you want to be. You can be all of those things in the outer man, even though it's perishing every day. I mean, you're losing thousands of cells every day. But you say, well, that's okay, you know. Who wants to live to be 100, you know? I mean, you know, 75 would probably do me. Well, I want to tell you today, God is looking for those who want to exchange their life, who wants to take on a new concept of life which is eternal.
Yeah. Yes.
You want to live forever? I've had people saying to me, brother, I don't want to live forever. I talked to an old lady, 96 years of age, having a birthday. And I said, I'm waiting for you to be 100 so that I can have a look at the Queen's telegram to you. And she said, oh, no, I don't. Oh, no, I don't want to be 100, she said. This is old enough. I said, what do you mean it's old enough? She said, you know, she said, you haven't had as many years as me. I said, no, I haven't, but I plan to, and a lot more too.
Right.
You see, God wants to give us life eternal.
Yes.
Wasn't that why you trusted Christ?
True.
Wasn't that why you gave your heart to Jesus?
Yes.
So you could have eternal life?
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
And now you're settling for life on the earth, which is mortal. Where you could die at any time, have a heart attack, and away you go. But the inner man is being renewed every day. That's Christ. I want to tell you, Christ is in every one of you.
Yes, he is.
Christ is in every one of you. And he's in every one of those people out there too, but they don't know it. But I'm telling you tonight, you know it. Christ dwells in you. And he is your true identity. And therefore, tonight he says to you, what do you want? You want to live as the outer man? That's being, what's it say? Perishing every day? Or do you want to become the inner man, the Christ of God? That is your true identity, but how many people here tonight are living out of the Christ? And the rest are living out of their mortal body. Oh, yes, I get a bit of hay fever sometimes. I get a little bit of, whatever it is. Arthritis. And these other things, you know, we have them all. And as the age gets a little older and older, so it increases. But I want to tell you tonight, I want to live out of the inner man.
Right.
And I want to tell you, he has no problems.
Right.
And he never gets cancer. He cannot get cancer. And he cannot die.
Right.
And he's being renewed every day. Come on, what would you like tonight? What is your heart's desire? I mean, if you want to live out of your mortal life, he says, hey, go ahead. But you know what's going to happen? One day, you're going to lay down there and you won't be able to get up. And they'll put your body in a box and bury it in the ground or whatever they're going to do. You see? Well, what's the point of that? There's no point at all. But if you will allow him today, he will cause the reality of your true identity to come to you, and that your mind will be changed, not this one up here, but the mind of the Christ in here.
Yeah.
Just right now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And I do this deliberately because so many people, they know the Bible too well, but they haven't really understood its message yet. The Apostle Paul says here in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you. The mind is the most important part of you when it comes to making decisions. I mean, you can have the most healthy body that there is. You can be one of these sports stars with a body, you know, with muscles hanging over everywhere and so on. But I want to tell you, if your heart is not right, if you have the wrong mind functioning, you're not going to make it. You'll go by way of the grave. That's all you can do. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Give it a chance to operate. Find out the glories of being eternal. Find out what it means to be able to live without worrying about sickness, pain, suffering, or anything. To not have to worry about even the devil. Hey, give him the slip too. Because this body of yours, once it's under the power of the mind of the Christ, something is changed. What is the mind of Christ? Listen to this. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
This is the mind of Christ. Are you equal with God tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I hear one yes up there.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with the rest of you? Where are you here tonight? This is what the mind of Christ is. That being in the form of God. Are you in the form of God tonight?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you sure?
Yes.
What form does God have? He's spirit. What are you?
Spirit.
Good. Okay, we're getting somewhere here. So you're spirit. God is spirit. So you're spirit. Okay, so we're in the form of God. But now, if you're in the form of God, are you equal with God?
Yes.
Well, there's a few more yeses that time. What does it mean to be equal with God? It means that the power of God, which is the power of the Christ in me, is available to me.
Yes.
To function according to his will, not my will, but according to the will of the Christ in me. That it doesn't matter if the man is laid there for 38 years as he did at the pool of Bethesda and he's been in a fetal position, he can't even scratch himself.
Right.
And Jesus walks up to him and says, pick up your bed and go home.
Yeah.
To be equal with God. To be equal with God is to laugh at cancer. It's to laugh at all those sicknesses, to pain and suffering, all of those things. To be equal with God means that your friends don't need to have cancer either. Because you can go to them and just lift that cancer off them and away you go. There was a young couple that came to me in Africa on my last trip there. And they said, can we talk to you privately? And I said, well, you know, I kind of wondered, what's this? Why do they want to talk to me privately for? Well, I said, okay. So we walked outside. And this young couple had only been married a few months. And they said, sir, can God do anything about AIDS? I said, sure. AIDS is no different to any other kind of disease, a headache or, you know, a running nose or what. It's no different. It has no more power or authority. To God, it's nothing. They said, would you pray for us? They both had AIDS. Not because they had been living a wanton kind of life, no. Because their mothers, obviously, had been infected with AIDS, and all the children followed suit.
Yep.
And here they are married. Fortunately, they mustn't have had a very heavy dose, otherwise I doubt if they'd wanted to have gotten married. But anyway, they were married, and they were concerned because they didn't want to have any children unless God was able to heal them. So I prayed for them. I haven't heard from them since. But I know I just felt the power of God that day. Just to lift that thing, I said, it doesn't matter what it is. I said, AIDS, I said, you're finished. And I said, you can walk free because God said, I've taken care of that thing.
Yes.
Way away. A pastor came to me and said, my wife has tuberculosis. I thought that thing had died out. I mean, in Australia, I don't think we've got any TB there at all. But in Africa, they said, oh, it's very prevalent over here. And I said, how long has your wife had? Oh, she's had this since she was young. I said, you've never prayed for her? Oh, he said, I have. But he said, it didn't work. I said, why was that? He said, I don't know. I said, well, would you like to pray for her again? I said, put your hand on your wife. I said, could you believe God that that thing has no power whatsoever? He said, well, I'll try. I said, well, while you're trying, I'm going to tell you, wife, tuberculosis is nothing in the sight of God. It has no power, and neither can it affect you unless you want. Do you want this thing anymore? She said, no, I don't. I just said, I'll lift that thing off you, tuberculosis. You're free, sister. Walk free and praise the Lord. She did. She did. You see, it's not the person. I don't have anything you don't have. I honestly, I don't have anything you don't have. You can do anything I can do. But see, it's the mind. This one up here will say, don't fool. I mean, you know, you might look a fool if you pray for somebody like that and it doesn't work. What are you going to do then? They're going to laugh at you. I said, let them laugh. Because next time, maybe if I wasn't right in the right mind or whatever, I said, God's going to take care of things anyway. So I'm going to tell you tonight, God is looking for those who are willing to vacate their outer man. That's what you've got to do. And start to live out of that which is eternal. Amen. Then you can let the outer man go because it doesn't matter. But you see, the absolute truth is that the Christ of God is the Savior of your body. So if you start to move into the Christ of your true identity, you will discover that this outer body is not going to deteriorate like it would normally. I had a little problem a couple of months ago, which I'm almost ashamed to even speak about. Should never have happened. I don't know. Lord, what am I doing? What went wrong? He said, don't talk like that. He said, I know what I'm doing. But you see, I had a little problem that came into my body at that time. And I prayed and I did everything I knew. And that thing stayed there. In fact, it looked like it was going to put me into a wheelchair and that would be the end of my ministry. I said, God, this cannot be. I'm not about to finish yet until you tell me, and you haven't told me that I'm finished yet. Therefore, this disease cannot stay with me. It cannot continue to function, and I'm believing for freedom. Well, that was a long story. I'm not going to go into the details of it. But I tell you, I got to really talking to God about this. And I said, Lord, I know I've been an unprofitable servant, but I've done the best I know how up to this time. But Father, please take me on further. Reveal yourself to me in ways that you've never revealed yourself before. Let your power begin to flow through me and so on. And here I am today anyway. Yes. This is by the grace of God. But I want to tell you, I want you to see the truth that's here tonight. You stay in that outer man and you're headed for the grave. But if you are willing to change tonight and say, Lord, you are my Lord. You are in charge of my life. You are my true identity, the Christ of God. And as you begin to do that, you'll find a change will begin to take place. And so let this mind be in you, because this is the essential part of this process. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. but he made himself of no reputation. Jesus Christ did not run around telling people, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. There are people today that like to do that, you know. Well, they might not say it quite in those words, but you'd think so. But it says here, being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name. You know what the name represents? Your nature. He gave him the divine nature. Which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Let's go back quick. We've got to go down here a little further yet. He says, for which cause, this is verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5. The outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inward man is the Christ of God. That is your true identity. But he was willing to live in a vessel of clay. He was willing to live in a vessel that is being disintegrating around us day by day. He was willing to live. He was born in a manger. And when King Herod wanted to find him, to kill him, because you can only have one king in a kingdom, and he was already the king, and he heard that this other king had just been born, he said, tell me where he is. I want to go and worship him. He didn't want to worship him, he wanted to kill him. But you know what? He couldn't find him. And here's the problem. Because he didn't know where he was. Because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, ruler and reigner of the universe, was born in a stable. Who would look for a king in a stable? The world today would like to find the king. Where are they looking? In the big cathedrals with the high steeples? With a man with a, you know, dressed like your mother, wants to be called your father, with a big Y hat on.
Yes, sir.
Where are they going to look for the king? They're going to look into people like you and I. The inner man of our being is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who would know it? Oh, I tell you, I laugh sometimes at the wisdom of God. How he's worked everything.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're not riding around in gold chariots pulled by six white horses or something. Here we are, just ordinary people. But in here is the Christ of God. Listen to this. While we look not at the things that are seen. He says here, our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we're not looking at the things which can be seen. They're the temporal things. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, your victory is not looking at the things that are passing away, but to look at the things that are eternal. That's the inner man.
Yes.
Keep your eye upon him.
Yes.
For we know, chapter 5, verse 1, for we know, Paul likes to use that little phrase. And I say, Paul, I wish you wouldn't use it, because we don't know.
Yeah.
But you say we do.
Right.
Who's right? Paul said, I'm right. Because you do know.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not registering in this heart in here.
Yes.
It's registering up here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know. Because Christ is in me, therefore all the knowledge of God is in me. Okay. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, then we would have a house a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I thought we got that after we died. I thought that's when God was going to give us that eternal house, you know, after you die. But he's telling us here that you can have that house now. You can live in that house. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us, Father, to understand and to begin to step into the reality of it. What does it mean? For we know that if our earthly house be dissolved, what does it mean? Well, I did a little bit of research and I discovered something quite interesting. The word dissolved means to separate two things that have been joined together.
Yes.
Separate two things that have been joined together. Oh my goodness. What two things have been joined together? Well, we have joined together the soul and the Christ. The soul is the man, and that includes you women. The soul is the one who is under the control of the carnal mind that controls the body. That's why you get sick. That's why you die. Because the carnal mind has no ability to prevent your demise. No ability. So now, how can we separate these two? Because while we live as a living soul, we are not going to be able to function out of the inner man. Because he won't function out of a living soul. He can't. Because the living soul is not capable of even doing it anyway. Because the living soul doesn't live by the mind of Christ. So, the Bible says, of course, that Jesus Christ, when he has come, that he would reveal all things to us. And he is revealing all things to us. So that today, that Spirit of God is now dividing between the soul and the spirit, is dividing between the, what are the other things? That's it. But the soul and the spirit can divide between those two and the joints and the bone and the marrow. So the spirit can divide all of these things and separate them. And when the spirit begins to function in you, you'll find that that which is not of God begins to drop away. In other words, it becomes less in focus in our life. And the things of God begin to come into very clear focus. So then, when this separation takes place, the Spirit of God begins to do something now because he is free. He is free to function. This is what the apostle said, verse 2, for in this body, we groan. How many of you are groaning today? I am. I'm doing my bit of groaning.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you get as old as me, you might do a whole lot more too. But see, what is the groaning? Well, the groaning says, Lord, I haven't got too much time to go. I've got to come into this experience of totally releasing the outer man and taking up that residence completely in this inner man of the Christ. He said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. How many of you people here tonight earnestly desire this?
Yes!
Well, there's a few of you. The rest of you, okay, if God does it, okay. If he doesn't, no, it's all right. We'll make it. Come on now, this is reality.
Yes.
He says in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, that's this body, earthly body, we do groan. Are you groaning tonight?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
Because it's not yet perfect from the human perspective. But I know in God it is. But see, that's got to become reality. It's got to become reality. In this tabernacle we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed. Paul is not talking about dying here.
Amen.
There's nothing in this chapter about dying. But this is the chapter that they read at every funeral. Isn't that crazy? He's not talking about dying in this thing at all. He said we don't want to be unclothed. That means dead. We don't want to be. What do we want to be? We want to be clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Yes, sir.
The Apostle Paul said, this mortal must put on immortality.
Yes.
It must. But don't leave it too late, my friend, or you might have to go by way of the grave. I don't want to go by way of the grave.
That's right.
I want to tell you, I want to put my foot in that river Jordan,
yeah,
as Israel did.
Yeah.
Israel didn't do it, but the priests did it.
Yeah.
When they put their foot into that pool, that raging torrent, because it was in flood, the Bible says that that water just began to go right back to Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. And God said, now, Israel, march across. There's your promised land. But I want to tell you, your promised land is on the other side of stopping the river. In other words, it's on the other side of the river. And if we're not able to pass that river, then we're not going to see the promised land in this experience. You see, many people say, well, you know, I'm going to heaven anyway, you know. I'm going to be with the Lord and that'll do me whatever, whatever, whatever. But I want to tell you, there are millions and millions and millions of people, something like 7.4 billion people on this earth. And many, many of those people have never heard of Christ yet. They've never seen the power of God. They've never seen a miracle. They've never seen anything that would really turn them toward God. And we just want to go to heaven? Come on. Is that all you want to do?
No.
Most Christians I hear, they say, oh, brother, you know. I can tell you of some ministries that passed on in recent years. And one of them said to me, Des, don't worry about me. I know where I'm going. I mean, this is a guy 2 days from his death. I know where I'm going, he said. I said, for goodness sake, what's that got to do with anything that you know where you're going?
Yeah.
All the years, I said, that God has been training you, all the years that he's been teaching you the book and the truth that goes with it.
Right.
I said, and all you want to do is to go to heaven, for goodness sake. Unfortunately, you see, we haven't got any zeal for God, have we? The zeal for God, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where we become excited just about doing what God wants us to do. Oh, I tell you, I miss going to Africa. I miss going to some of these other countries where I've been every year for the last who knows how many years. I miss it. Why? Because I just love taking the message of truth and watching people respond and seeing them begin to walk in this same truth. And some of them are doing a better job probably than me. Wonderful. But here we are. He said, we are in this tabernacle and we're groaning, being burdened. We don't want to be unclothed. We're not interested in death. Is this true for you?
Yes, amen.
You really want to get through to the promised land?
Yes.
Because remember, the Jordan River is in between you and the promised land. The promised land is simply living with Christ reigning and ruling in your life. And you are in the promised land. And there will be nothing that you will desire that you will not have. Nothing that you need. It'll all be there for you. And you will never be sick and you will never die. So I tell you, I have said to God myself many times, I will put my foot, if I'm the one, Father, and you will let me put my foot in there and prove that that river cannot stop anybody from passing over. Because I believe that's what the people on the other side in the spirit world tonight, all those that have passed on, they're waiting for somebody to put their foot in there and stop the river. Jesus Christ did. Of course, in the form of the tabernacle, the priests went down and Moses said to them, Joshua said to them, when you go down there with this ark of God on your shoulders, he said, as soon as the tip of your toes goes in that water, he said, that river is going to hike off way back up there. And it happened. When they just put their foot on the edge, away it went. That's the power of God. Beloved, this is real. I'm not just sharing this as Bible knowledge to you tonight. I'm sharing this because there are millions and millions and millions of people on this earth today who need this message. But if you've not experienced anything like this for yourself, you're not going to be able to help them. So it's time that we moved out of the outer man and began to take our residence within the inner man, the Christ of God. And then he becomes the Savior of the body. It says here, now he that wrought this, wrought us for the self same thing as God. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Oh, well, that's easy, isn't it? I mean, you understand that, don't you? See, the funeral service, dear Uncle Joe here.
Yeah.
You know, dear Uncle Joe, but now he's absent from the body and he's present with the Lord.
That's what they say.
I don't think so. That's what we've said. That's what the church has said for who knows how many hundreds of years. What does it mean to be absent from the body? It doesn't mean that you're dead and your body's laying down there and you're up there in heaven. That's not what it means. That's not absent from the body. You see, because you still need your body. Why? Because this is the temple of God. If you want to live on the earth, you need the temple of God, because he lives in his temple and functions through his temple. So what does it mean to be absent from the body? It means that you have to take up your residence someplace else. There is within you an inner man. That inner man is the Christ of God. He has his own mind. He has his own life. He has his own power and he has his own itinerary. He has his own program. Everything is locked up in him. But we've remained in the outer man. We've remained in the outer man. And of course, while you're in the outer man, you're absent from the Lord, because that's the Lord. The Christ of God, that is the Lord. You know what the word Lord means? It means the owner. He owns you. That's why you've got the House of Lords in England. They are a group of people who own property. They're called lords. God owns you. You do not own yourself. I do not own myself. You belong to God. He formed your body in your mother's womb.
That's right.
He created you as spirit in the beginning. Then he put the two together and you're on the earth today, and here you are in this meeting. We're groaning and saying, Lord, I want to change.
Yes.
I don't want to have to go through all this sickness stuff again. I don't want to have to get old and somebody has to walk beside me to make me stand up straight. I don't want to have to, you know, get into a wheelchair. Somebody's got to push me around all over the place. I don't want any of this stuff.
Right.
I want to be able to live my life to the end.
Yes.
In the presence and in the ministry of the Christ.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
What do you want today?
Yes.
Are you absent from the body? Because you've got to leave home. And when I say home, I mean your body. That's your mortality. That is what you are naturally. That is what was produced through your mother's womb, your body.
Yes, amen.
See, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. See, he went away. What for? To prepare a place for us.
Yes.
He did, didn't he?
Yes.
He prepared a place for me.
Yes.
Because, see, he put my body together in my mother's womb.
Yes.
It's just his loving hands that put all the bits together. And there I was. This bouncing, lovely little boy came out there about 82 years ago. And everybody said, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he beautiful? You know, all of that stuff. But see, he had prepared for me a body.
Yes.
And God had put in that body a spirit. That was me. That was Christ. That was me. And so you see today, if I want to be in this other group of people, I'm going to leave this outer man and I want to live in that Christ identity. I want to live out of him. He's eternal. He can never die. He can never have a problem. He's got all power that's given unto him in heaven and in earth. Help us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us. Tonight I want to tell you there is a tremendous need in this world in which we live. A tremendous need. And I will tell you this, that unless something happens among God's people, and I mean, you know, unless there are people that are really understanding this and are willing to be absent from the body in order to be present with the Lord, that I might become the vessel in the hand of God to do the will and purpose of God. The will and purpose of God cannot be done by the carnal man.
Right.
It cannot be done by the outer man.
No.
He's not capable of doing it. I mean, how is he going to heal the sick? He can't do that. If he's a doctor, he'll give him a couple of pills or something, you know, might help him a little bit. Might not help him too, he might still die. Pills and all. But you see, here we are today. We can become a vessel in the hand of God. We must be absent from the body and be present.
Yes.
With the Lord.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean up there in heaven.
No.
It means in here, because here's where the Lord is.
Amen.
He's in here. Are you people tonight hearing this?
Yes.
Am I preaching to anybody?
Yes.
God help us.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
It's time that we really made a stand for God in this.
Yes.
We talk about it. You've heard preachers talk about it. I'll guarantee you've heard the preacher over here talk about this many times. But I'm telling you today, Father's saying, I want you to make up your mind. Are you going to live by the mind of Christ, or are you going to live by this natural carnal mind?
Yeah.
Because this carnal mind is not going to help you. It will not help you to become what God wants you to be, and our life will never change. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. It's time actually to change the one in control. We need a new leader in our body. And the new leader is the Christ. I had a good go. I did the best I could. You know, I tried to do the right thing and all of these things, and I tried to serve God. I tried to learn the Bible so I could preach, and I preached to people, and I told them to give their heart to Jesus, and many of them did. And then a few years later, I began to wonder, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing? I said, I've had enough of this. I quit. Spent 2 years in the wilderness, like Moses did. 2 years in the wilderness. Oh, he might have spent more. And then after that, I started to hear a voice which changed my life. Yeah. And tonight my desire is to vacate the body and to find myself in the presence of the Almighty. In here, not up in heaven. On this earth, with my feet still right down here, amongst all the people of this world. Some may be criminals, some may be crazy people, but here I am, right in the middle of it all. I want to be standing on holy ground. I want tonight that I would be standing with one foot poised to step into that river. And to defy it to stop me from walking into the promised land. Are you ready tonight? I want you to be honest before the Lord. I want you to be honest. We're not playing games. This is serious business. Tonight, if you would find it in your heart that you want to be absent from the body so that you can be present with the Lord, you have to vacate your natural mind. You have to turn it off, if you like. And God will help you if your desire is sincere. And if you will step into the inner man and take up your residence in the Christ of God, who is your true identity, and the one that you were created to be in the very, very beginning. You were created to be the Christ. Then this world is going to know. Your friends are going to know. Loved ones are going to know. Many people are going to know that you will come across. And you will find that you are capable of doing what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago on this earth. He just went around healing the sick. When Jesus began his ministry in Matthew, you read there very simply that he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom and said to his disciples, go on out, preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal the sick. So they were expected to heal the sick right back then. I think that was a special dispensation for them. Because they didn't understand, obviously, what we had. They had not yet read the New Testament. They didn't know half of what we know today. And yet they walked out there and did what the Lord told them to do. They come back and said, hey, these people are being raised up there. They're not sick anymore. And here's some people that have been taken over by some evil spirit or what, and even the evil spirits obey us. We tell them to get out and they're gone. Praise the Lord. Tonight, beloved, would you bow your heads with me as we just seek the Lord for a moment. Father, what we are speaking about tonight, Lord, requires the energy and the spirit of the Christ. to so come upon us, Lord, that this people would begin to earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Father, there's a desire I see in the heart of many of this people here tonight to vacate their natural being, this mortal body, and to take up residence in the Christ of God within them. And that, Father, they would begin to function out of your glory, your power, but also your love and your grace, that we might express what you are, and that, Father, many, many people will come to know you and to also find their answer in Christ. Lord, bless this people. Father, lay your hand upon each one right now. And as you feel that hand upon your shoulder, you know that this is the hand of the Christ of God, who says, I love you and I gave myself for you. I went to Calvary and took you there with me so that you might be rid of your blood to become immortal and to become the messenger of the living God. Father, bless this people. Grant tonight that they may walk in that new light. Grant, Father, that the old house of our humanity and mortality might be seen as empty as we have vacated it to step into the Christ of God and that body which is eternal. Father, bless this people, I pray, and give to us tonight all that was that you desired that we should have, and that we might in turn be able to bless you. Thank you, Father, and let the blessing of Almighty God rest and abide upon each one, and go in peace. Amen.